And welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. Brian Keller is out sick with the flu, but we have...
I'm Clint Ruckus, so here's me with my love of bacon.
Yes, and you just joined our team.
I did. I joined September 1.
Very exciting. And you're working on...
So I'm working on internal tools, which means I'm not that good of a developer. I'm working on the client that helps our processing of the videos. So it's my job now to add in, am I allowed to talk about the new feature that we're adding?
Yeah, chaptering.
Okay, so we're adding in chaptering now. So
we have disclosed chaptering.
Okay, so when you have a long video, it's very annoying not knowing where these time segments are for, let's say, when someone talk, like the chapter, the talk points for
this week on Channel 9.
So when we, screw, I don't want to hear about what I'm talking about, you just start clicking to those next points. So it's my job to help make that tool easy for us to use right now. And then I also do coding for fun and occasionally online personality when you let me off my leash.
Right. Personality, right. Speaking of personality, this is... So, you have a slight obsession with bacon. This is the t-shirt you wore from Threadless yesterday, and it's a pig eating bacon.
Yes, because you are what you eat, so...
All right.
I really like bacon, and I imagine a pig would love bacon as well. So
it looks like a very happy pig. Now, what is the weirdest bacon accessory that you've been gifted?
I've been gifted jelly bean bacon flavored jelly beans from actually my old manager, and they were very interesting flavor. I don't think anyone really liked them. I just enjoyed giving them out to people to watch their face. But the coolest bacon item I've eaten is deep fried bacon. Mm. That was like beer battered. It was delicious. It was weird, but delicious.
That sounds like it would actually be, beer battered anything sounds pretty good.
I'm pretty sure I had a minor heart attack just eating it, but it was amazing.
So let's get to our actual stories.
Let's get to it.
So first one is, big announcement was Website Spark. So this is a new program, and Charles interviewed Scott Guthrie on this. Basically, what it allows people to do is for 3 years, you get Visual Studio Pro, you get some version of Expression Studio. I think it's one full copy of Expression Studio and then two copies of Expression Web.
Yes.
You get a database, and you even get production licenses for SQL Web and Windows Web Server Web Edition.
And it's 3 years for $100.
3 years, and then at the end of the program, you pay the $100. So this is cool stuff, and included in there is a number of things for like building out a marketplace,
yep.
Things for you to be able to find other people that are building websites, et cetera, et cetera. And also the web platform installer.
Oh, this is the one. Just installing SQL Server with this tool is like night and day. It's literally... click a couple check boxes, you hit install, it downloads it automatically and configures stuff automatically. It makes life so much easier.
And I think the other cool part is not just that it does tools, because it can install Express Edition, SQL Server, some of the PHP stuff. It's also the apps.
Yeah.
So a number of apps, and you can actually get your app listed in WebPI to make it easy to install. And they've even added, I think, trial versions of Expression Studio in WebPI, so in the RTM version. So some cool stuff.
Yep.
And what is the Web App Toolkit?
Okay, so the Web App Toolkit is a bunch of examples and screencasts that we've created to do things such as the Bing search service, examples on how to implement a RESTful API service on your pre-existing website, add in social media using Windows Live Messenger, so then you can add in Xbox capabilities, and then even an FAQ engine example, so you can create an FAQ system on your website, which is historically kind of a harder problem to solve. And just by having this example, it helps kind of create templated solutions to a kind of a harder problem.
Yeah, I think the nice thing is these are like really sort of easy to run. They're standalone, rather than downloading an entire, say, CMS package to do one thing.
Yeah.
you get these sort of like standalone pieces.
Yeah.
So, and their screencast, Jonathan Carter and James Sr. actually had a video where they go through, just do a recap of the web app toolkit, and then there's individual screencasts for each toolkit as well. So, plenty of videos on Channel 9. This is cool. This is, now the key here is it is in LA, so you have to be in either LA, but it is totally free. You don't have to be attend PDC to go to this, but what it is a Windows 7 developer boot camp. So, people that have been on Channel 9 before, Arun Kishan, Mark Rusinovich, will be giving the talks. But this should be pretty good, and they say it's going to include C++ stuff, some system stuff, some managed code stuff, so lots of good stuff for Windows 7 developers.
And it is limited seating, so if you want to do it and you're in the LA area November 16th, please sign up.
Yeah.
And it is free once again.
Which is awesome.
As it says, free.
They don't say free enough. Greg Duncan found this, which was pretty cool. It was... Now you're playing with the OpenXML format, which is the .docx, XLSX format for Word documents. And what this allows you to do is there's an SDK to program against OpenXML, and this includes a bunch of VB and C# snippets for specific tasks. So if you are new to OpenXML coding, first get the SDK. Second, follow some setup instructions just to get things up and running. And third is download these code snippets because they make it just that much easier. Like, okay, I'm going to create a document. I'm going to edit this cell.
So you're saying you don't want to read a 200-page SDK document?
If the SDK, the documentation for OpenXML is probably in the order of thousands of pages.
So you're saying you don't want to read a 1,000-page document?
So I'm saying I don't.
So yeah, basically it's the way to make OpenXML generation a lot easier through C# and VB.
Yeah. Friend of the show, Brian.
Yeah, Peake. Brian Peake, a Coding for Fun author. He has his Coding for Fun show, and he talked about advanced rendering techniques with Silverlight with
Rick Barraza.
As I just botched his last name, Rick Barraza. And it's really kind of cool. He showed off his fluid dynamic Silverlight example, writable bitmaps along with vector fields. Now, the vector fields is what we're showing in the background right now.
Yep.
And what he did was, using the other two examples, was he first did a grayscale of the image, of the source image, then did edge detection, and then from that, then he could do vector fields, which looks so amazing and blows my mind, and it runs on through a web browser.
Yeah, these are just like gorgeous demos to be able to play with. Now Rick, you know, he's always one to kudos, and like, it's not like he did all the math and stuff. It's inheriting a number of things for like fluid dynamics that have already been built in the industry, but he shows how to do this in Silverlight, and it just makes you like, it's one of those things where you want to just walk up and play with it. So
yeah, well, when we were testing this out before the show, like, both of us had to put it down to actually do the show.
So cool stuff, and kudos to Rick and Brian. And I think they were in Vegas, so I'm not really sure they made it.
It was work.
Right, I'm not sure
although
they made it.
Although I think
out
Rick is actually from Vegas, so.
So next thing is a company called Zen, which does PHP. There's think of it as a speed dial, as they're trying to say. It's a simple API for cloud application storage. And what it allows you to do is, you're a PHP dev, you want to be able to use Azure, you don't want to have to do all these REST calls. This does the core application services for services like Azure available for you as a PHP developer. So it just makes it easier to use Azure if you're a PHP dev.
Okay.
Easy enough.
Everyone likes easy. Get that easy button here.
Yeah.
Speaking of
easy button. So this is something that I'm facing right now, where I have a bunch of videos of the new baby.
Yeah.
Except they're encoded differently. They're not encoded in a way. I think the native is MP4. They're not encoded so that you can actually stream them from the Xbox 360.
Okay.
Right.
So how do you solve this issue?
So how do you solve this issue? PowerShell. So Scott Hanselman solved this for us. First example he did was actually using Handbrake. And Handbrake's a tool that does a lot of the conversion, format conversion.
Okay.
Among other things. And it's callable via the command line. So he does a PowerShell script to basically go through a directory and recurse all the files and then convert them. And then in the comments, somebody from the Expression Encoder team went through and actually showed him how to do the same thing using Expression Encoder, which you can also call from the command line. So definitely cool stuff. And if you're looking to for how to put videos on your Xbox 360, that's how.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
So calling PowerShell commandlets from C# Sharp is actually kind of an interesting thing to do that some people may want to do, but it's not exactly straightforward.
Right.
So this example shows us how to do just that. We ran it before the show, got it working. Now, the one interesting caveat here is you actually have to go in and modify this CSproj file.
Right.
Which may scare some people. The reason why I ran it beforehand was because I wanted to verify that, hey,
I checked the add reference,
and it didn't show up. It's system.manage.automation.
Yep.
But by following the example on the website, literally line by line, it worked. So the only scary thing is actually doing that special edit. But, you know, if you run source control like a smart little developer, then you shouldn't have anything to worry about.
Or somebody should build an item template for this, right? Or like a project template. So file new.
Yeah, that would work also.
PowerShell template, and it would automatically have the VC.
Yep. Oh, this project also assumes that you have PowerShell installed on your system. So Windows 7 has it installed by default.
Very true.
Just a little caveat there.
Yeah, so we got PowerShell for Xbox 360 and then how to use it in C#.
Yeah.
So if you're one of those crazy people that use iPhones and you use C#, and we talked about some of the tools to actually build iPhone apps using C#. Last week using
Monotouch.
Yeah. And we're still recovering from the hangover from last week. That's probably what Brian had. He had a hangover from last week. What this allows you to do is if you have a backup of your iPhone in iTunes, what this allows you to do is you can read in the SQLite database where your text messages are stored. So you actually go in, crack the SQLite database open using C# code, read the data out and actually read the text messages that you've sent or received.
So then I can figure out what drunk text messages someone sent on my phone?
Yes, or more importantly, you can walk up to a friend's phone that, you know, they do their regular iPhone backups and you want to be able to read, you know, what, wow, you're still texting that ex-girlfriend. That's awesome, Brian.
And this is why no one allows other people to touch their phones around here.
Yes, exactly. So kind of cool stuff to be able to play with the SQLite DBs. Another one, we've talked about the Unity application block before. This actually goes through and explains, it assumes you're a total novice to
so
the Unity.
So that would be me.
Unity application block. It starts with, you know, an example of I'm going to have a writer, I'm going to have an interface for a writer, and then three different ways. Maybe one is going to be a console, maybe one is a ASP.NET response.write equivalent, maybe another one is to a log file or something, and they all inherit from this interface. You put in a specific attribute that there's going to be a dependency, and what you can then do, it's a very configuration model, configuration over convention model, where you can go through and then have a config file actually tell you which one to do, and goal is to use some well-known design patterns like dependency injection or IOC, inversion of control, and how you can use the Unity application block to be able to do that, and then the associated config file to say this is what I want you to do.
Okay.
So you need to switch something out, you change a config file.
Hardware.
Yes. So this is Larry, and you watched one of these.
Which I did. I watched the first one where they're showing how they test mice, and it was very, very interesting. It was like I never would imagine the amount of thought that goes into testing a mouse goes into it. Like they were showing what's the distance that a mouse can still detect the surface it's testing on, how you know, what's the DPI, how fast can an object spin underneath it and still get the correct trajectory of the mouse movement. It was really kind of cool, and all the different surfaces. So like they would have like the carpet, this wood, this table there, and they would have different test surfaces to verify that the mouse can work under these things.
Yeah, these are really cool. You don't realize how much stuff goes into Microsoft hardware, whether it's you know, the webcams for audio, which is there's an acoustic lab, there's keyboard and mice, obviously. Yeah. So lots of cool stuff. Frankly, labs that people don't get to see.
Yeah.
So cool series.
Yeah, and the example here we're showing is acoustic, but I would say check them all out, because if you like that kind of stuff, it's really interesting.
Yeah.
And now, my favorite, video games. So yes. I had the chance to go to the Halo 3 ODST launch party. So actually,
and it was you, Duncan, and Tina?
Yes, me, Duncan, and Tina. So we had the chance of, or Tina actually interviewed people from the ODST team and talked about, you know, what were some of the new technologies included, why they went the route they did.
And these were questions. Some of the Q&A was directly from Niners, right?
Yeah, from the community. I threw out a blast on Twitter saying, what are questions you want from this team? And people responded and gave me some interesting responses.
What was a good question that you got? I'm just going to put you on the spot.
I know, thank you.
You're welcome.
So, as my whiteboard doesn't have that. So one question that someone asked was, what was actually some new technologies included in it? And why was Halo or ODST done in like 14 months? Mm-hmm. And they explained why these things happen. So it was definitely really kind of cool. So, and then I had I was put on the spot there to play Halo in the background.
Put on the spot.
I have
to have access to ODST before anybody else. How hard?
Darn.
Hard knock life.
I know. So that was fun. It was definitely interesting meeting a bunch of the devs in real life. And I mean, they're normal people. Just, they get to work on a really cool video game.
So they don't actually float?
That's under non-disclosure.
Of course, Bungie. Picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
Woo-hoo.
So being a former web dev, one thing I always hated doing was cross-browser testing, because you have to have you do a couple different things. You can sign up for a web service that will you point it to a website and they take snapshots and then you compare them all, or you can do multiple virtual machines. Or now we have, Microsoft has a tool called Super Preview, which you can get the IE 6, 7, and 8version for free. And then there is an additional one that costs that comes with Expression Web that can do Firefox, and Safari as well. And then it will overlay the images to figure out where little differences are in the source, and then you can correct it. Now, each one of these has pros and cons. So, like, a VM lets you test out the JavaScript that each one has. But the problem there is then you have to manage the VMs. You have to keep them up to date. Do you want to test between, you know, XP, Vista, 7, et cetera, et cetera? You can very, very quickly waste a lot of disk space doing this. And that's the approach I took when I was a web dev. I wasn't thrilled with it, but we didn't have any better way of doing it. And then, like, a problem with the web service, or the web service that actually they have machines that take the snapshots, is you have to make that externally available for them to test against. And then you also can't test the JavaScript, mm-hmm. which is a problem. Super Preview is nice because it literally, you can overlay the images. It's instant. It's on your local machine, so therefore it's secure. But you can't. And one thing with Super Preview though is you can't test the JavaScript as well.
Yeah.
But you know, everything comes with pros and cons. And Scott talked about all these different pros and cons, and then he even talked about how Super Preview handles some stuff under the covers at the end of his blog post.
Yeah. So a massive amount of detail for cross-browser testing.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I think most people don't realize how in-depth that testing has to go into.
I just, you know, write a check to a test company. So speaking of cool toys,
ooh.
Actually, there's no connection to web testing and cool toys. Mindflex. This is a Mattel company, and Blake Handler, I think I blogged about this, but this is yet another mind control thing, and I really want to find some way to like just hack this and use this for something else, but basically yeah. It does the EEG thing, and you can watch the video of it in action, and it's available now. I think it's like $130 US from Amazon and a bunch of other
They also have the Star Wars version of this where you levitate a ball, but this one looks far more advanced where you actually have to go through an obstacle course.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool, kind of fun to play with, and more importantly, I want somebody to hack this. I tried searching online. I Googled it with Bing, as they say, and I did not find anybody that's hacked this yet. So
if you want to write a coding for fun article,
there you go, dude.
We'll buy you one.
Exactly. So thank you, Clint, for a
thank
very
for
special
having me.
This week on Channel 9, and see y'all later.
Thank you.